And again, I may not talk about, use the words broken and things of that nature, but everything that's going from starting last week is leading into this, what I believe is going to conclude with a dynamic move of God. But again, that's going to happen. Well, if that's going to happen, you're going to play a major part in it. It's not just going to take place. And I encourage you to get ready for it. Today I want to minister a word entitled, Between Timbals and Elam. I always say Elam. Between Timbals and Elam. Now, just very quickly, a timbal, it's a, it's a tambourine-like instrument, but it's smaller. And, you know, in the culture of Israel, it was something that only the women used when they were worshiping God and dancing. That was their instrument. Men didn't use this little instrument. Only the women did. And that matters because of what it said in the Word about that. But we want to look at between these two places. Everybody find Exodus 15? We're going to read from verse 20 to 27. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing you to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider has he thrown into the sea. Now, that song, if you read Exodus 15, starting at the beginning, that song begins earlier and it's long, so I'm just reading that portion. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitterness. And the people, here we go, murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance or a law. And there he proved them and said, verse 26, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight. And if you will give ear to his word, his commandments, and if you will keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. Verse 27. And then they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. At this time in Israel's history, at this moment, after 400 and some odd years of being in bondage to the people of Egypt, at the moment, well, let me just say it differently. At Exodus 15, starting at the beginning, at that moment, the people of Israel, the children of God, were no longer No longer. The people of God were now an unpursued nation. Nobody chasing them. Nobody going after them. Egypt was, the soldiers, the military might was already dead. They were killed in the waters. They had been called out. You know, do me a favor, read Exodus 14, 15. And see all that was going on. But here at 15, they come through the Red Sea. When they get out at the end of the Red Sea, they're crossing. Egypt and the soldiers and the horses and the chariots, they decided to pursue after Israel and to take them back into captivity. But God released his hand off the water. And the water came back together again and killed the entire troops. I don't know how many soldiers, I know how many chariots, but killed everybody that was involved in pursuing Israel and taking them back into bondage. Now there's three distinct events, I guess, or emphasis, that take place in chapter 15. And here's what they are, because I'm going to twist them just a bit for the story. We're going to look at rejoicing at the Red Sea. Then we're going to look at the resources of Elam. And thirdly, we're going to take a minute of time to look at the realities of Mara. Let's go with the rejoicing of the Red Sea. And what a time they had to rejoice. What a reason they had to celebrate and to party. The Song of Moses, and as I say, read the whole thing, it summarizes graphically what the Lord had done and how the Lord had freed them. But I want to tell you this, because what I'm about to say is where some of our members are dwelling right now. It's the same thing with Israel. Listen to this statement. They were free, but they were not yet delivered. A lot of us don't realize it, but we're free. And that thing that keeps bothering us is we've not yet been delivered. And so the song shares what God had done, interspersed in this song and providing a dynamic conclusion to this song was this dance of Miriam and all the women that joined with her, dancing and playing the timbrels. And I've seen this instrument. And one thing I liked about it is the instruments had very long, I don't know what you call them, streamers attached to it. The instrument was just maybe that big. But it had all these thin streamers attached to it. And they would wave it. And you would have the sound of the music, the waving of the banners, the dancing of the women, the celebrating of the man. All this is going on because they had a reason. What's your reason today? Do you have one? Do you have a reason to rejoice? You're sitting here. Do you have a reason to celebrate, to stand up and sing as Moses sang? I will sing unto the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphed. For he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. They had a reason. What's your reason? What's God done recently that will cause you to dance if you don't monitor yourself? cause you to get up and run around. Not showing off, but responding to the fact that Yahweh, God Almighty, has shown up. Because the night before that, things weren't going too smooth. It wasn't until they got across the river that they realized their freedom. And they should rejoice. Think of these things. Israel had absolutely no might to repel Pharaoh, yet his army was destroyed. They should rejoice because they could see no hope for survival as they stood on the other side, much less continuation. But God gave them both. At this point in time, we read the story, we notice that doubt was unthinkable, discouragement was impossible, and defeat was incomprehensible because of what God had done. Don't we love to live in such places and environments like that? If you haven't in recent years, don't you miss the atmosphere? Not just in church, but in your home, in your car, on the job, in the store. And you feel the presence of God. Don't you love them atmospheres? That's where Israel was. And that's where I'm longing to get to. I want to live under those circumstances. I don't want to be no longer of the group that stands up and says, this is nice, but I think it'd be better if we go back to Egypt and serve them. It would be better than death. Read it. This is the words. Surely, servitude to Egypt. Surely, bondage and enslavement to the powers of darkness is better than to die out here with nothing. But now God has shown up and things have changed. And so they come to this place. And I want to tell you, just if you start checking, I've reversed these two locations only because of the title. Actually, Elam was the next spot, then Mara. But I want to talk about, Mara was the next spot, then Elam. But I want to talk about Elam first. And let's look at their resources. Because this divine benefit came a few days later. And they come upon this oasis. 70 wells already dug. 70 wells? Should have kept my Bible open. 12 wells of water. Pre-dug. 70 palm trees already in existence. Plenty of water and beauty. And where was this? In the midst of a wilderness. Elam, a pleasant place to camp. A marvelous divine provision of God in the middle of dryness and desert, God placed an Elam to refresh the people and give the people rest. And what God did there, He can do here. What God did for any one of them, He can do for you. Thank you, Lord. If this applies to you, take it and bless God with it. But I know there's a lot of people who are constantly looking and observing and watching what the powers of darkness are doing. They can tell you how much they've been beat up by Satan. They can tell you how badly they've been dragged around by his imps and his angels. They can spot the devil a mile away. But at the same time, they can't see God doing anything. We need to get our eyes back on the Lord. He is, as the psalmist said, He's the help in trouble. And they were in trouble. And they needed help. And God placed them there. The resources, they were not only adequate, they were abundant. They were not only beautiful, they were bountiful. A pause. A place that refreshed. But listen, because all of us, when we get to that place, we want to stay there. But we have to understand, Elam was a nice place to refresh, but the journey has to continue on. You see, Elam was a great place to camp, but not to colonize. And so we must move on. Because another situation that takes place here is they come into a place called Marah, which means bitterness. And listen, right between victory and refreshing, guess what showed up? Frustration. Disappointment. Distress. 3 days after the Song of Moses, 3 days after the party at the Red Sea, they came to the place of bitterness. That's what Marah means. And here's the realities. The thirst was unbearable. The water was undrinkable. And the complaining was uncontrollable. 3 days after the 12 wells, 3 days after the palm trees, 3 days later, we're complaining like crazy. And I know, I've seen it in my ministry many times. I know how it happens, why it happens. And this is it. In their story, the people quickly forgot the Red Sea rejoicing. And they were unaware of the nearness or how close they were to Elam. Now, I give them A for effort, but it lasted 3 days. Because for most in the church today, it'll last from the altar to the parking lot. That was a finger pointer. The people. And I want to say this. I thank God that to my knowledge, this does not exist at Breakthrough Worship Center. To my knowledge. But to let you know the whole story. They not only forgot the Red Sea, but they became disgruntled, disappointed, and disillusioned. But another reality surfaces here, and that was prayer became unresistible. I want to tell you, I don't know how I can get you to do it, but I'm going to beg you to do it. The next time you're confronted with anything that is not uplifting or strengthening you spiritually or helping you get a hold of it in your soul, when you see it before you get the full experience, pray. Pray. Well, I don't know how to pray, Pastor. Do you know how to talk? Have you ever said out loud, I love you, Pastor? If you've done that, you can pray. Just turn it around. I love you, Lord. That's a starting place. If that's your heart, that's a starting place. And then from there, just unload your heart. Listen, God is not holding Webster's book and checking up, make sure you say the right word. It's your heart that makes the difference. And prayer releases the power. Read the story. Moses didn't panic, but he prayed. Prayer, my friend, releases upon us or brings upon us God's power, God's provision, and God's pleasure to us. Notice what I said at the end there. Not your pleasure. What did the word say? It is the Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the gifts of the kingdom. It's not about your pleasure. It's about His. It's not about your power. It's about His. And all we got to do is go back to prayer. And in this time of prayer, God showed Moses a tree, a particular little tree, that would change everything. Now, the type of tree is not revealed. We're not told what kind of tree it was. We can only speculate. I heard a minister years ago, he made a statement that he believed it was a Joshua tree. Does anybody know what a Joshua tree is? Does anybody know where they exist? Arizona. I think that's the only place in the world. Now, if that guy was right, it was miraculous that God put a judge. What's his name? Thank you, tree. over there in the wilderness of Shur. We don't know what kind of tree it was. Just like we don't know what the source of the bitterness came from. We don't know the reason for the bitterness to be there. We're not told those things. And I think I know why. This is my feeling on why we don't know what tree and why we don't know the reason. Everybody say, Pastor, this is your thought. Tell your neighbor, say, this is his thought. But I think it's that way because God is not in the diagnostic business. That's why. But he is in the deliverance business. We just sang it. God's not in the diagnostic business. Look, you don't need to know everything about everything. You need to know something about some things. And one thing you need to know is you need to know your father's ability. You need to know how your father can protect you. Now, you can't go out acting the fool and living any way you... Oh, I didn't call anybody a fool. I just said acting like one. Can't go out acting like a fool and then get in and say, oh, God, would you bless me because this, that, and the other. We need to know our Father. We need to know our God. We need to spend time with our God in our homes, in our cars, wherever we may be. We need to once again develop a God consciousness. I don't think I'm going to say this right, but somebody can look at it. Hebrews chapter 10 brings a statement in the opening verses 1, 2, or 3 about, oh, now I forgot where I was going, how it goes. Talking about sin and behavior sin, said that if Israel would have known better, they would have never sinned again. But they had this sin consciousness instead of a God consciousness. We need a God consciousness. We need to be constantly aware of the fact he is here. He is with me. He's here to help me, to protect me, to guide me, to direct me. I may not know where I'm going, and I'll tell you, just where I can get two drinks. We might not fully understand why he's guiding us this way because we've never been that way before. Now, brethren, most of you can relate to that with me. Of how many times we've been places that we didn't have a clue where we was at. But every time the wife said, you got to go back, you missed a turn. Nah, it's right down here. And it's not until you went out and you made what? One, two, three. You went out and made four right-hand turns. And you realized you were passing the same gas station. And finally you realized, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. There's a lot of times I don't know where I'm at. But I trust God will keep me where I'm at. I'm going to ask you, add this to your prayer, please. I'm going to read it out loud. But in 2005, July 2005, God spoke a word to us. And part of that word is located in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 14. Here's what the anointing said that service that day. Thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, are you his people? I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13, you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, when I have brought you up out of your graves. Verse 14, look at this. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will what? Live. And I will place you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have said it, that I have spoke it, and I have done it. With that word, out of Zechariah 9 came the concluding section. Zechariah 9, verses 11 and 12. As for you also, by the blood of your covenant, listen to these next parts, I have sent forth the prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Rhetorical question, are you a prisoner of your hope? He said, turn to the stronghold. Even today, he said, I declare that I will render double unto you. That's a word God gave us in 2005, and guess what? I believe if we keep ourselves prepared, if we keep our eyes fixed and our minds focused, I believe that what was said in 2005 is going to happen at breakthrough in 2013. What year we in? 23, whatever year we're in. I believe it. That was a sookie or something. Not even an amen. And I'm going to eat a cough drop while y'all get your heads together. But my throat's dry. If you need one, I got more. Listen, church. I'm having some playtime. But I don't know. And I went to Brownsville. I saw that. I was in that. I don't know if I have ever seen a more serious moment in the spirit than what I'm seeing now. And I know that our participation, following the examples of those that have gone before us, I believe we will see that reality take place. Listen, we can rejoice over the victory at the Red Sea. We can rest in the shade of Elam. But somewhere in between, you may find Mara. That's where we live. That's where we need the Lord's help more than any other place. The song of the Red Sea, it might lose its rhythm. And the pleasantness of Elam may lose its appeal. But my brothers and sisters, the power of God to provide for his people will never change. Stand with me if you would. Now, church, I want to say very quickly, I am waiting direction from the Lord for where how we move from here. But until we got that going, I encourage you, please. Keep your prayer life alive. Continue to let the Holy Spirit flow within you. If you need be, use what Pastor T uses. I envision myself as a dry sponge. And I just start soaking up the presence of God until it's so thick in me that I can't hold no more of it. And then the exciting part comes. It begins to roll into others. Start your prayer now. And keep those two passages in mind and pray them. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Just read it out loud. You'll learn how to do these things. Everybody talking about it. There was a time I didn't know 2 + 2 meant 3. I stayed in school long enough to find out it meant 4. Church, I love you, and I want you to know it's coming. It's coming. Father, in the wonderful name of Yeshua, thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word brings faith. And faith brings us into the full reality of your truth. Lord, bless your people. The members in-house here at Breakthrough Worship Center, as well as those that travel or follow us through the internet services. Thank you, Lord. Church, we can't just go to the Lord any way we want. So I want to encourage you, if you got active, unconfessed sin in your life right now, I encourage you to pray and ask God to forgive you of it. If you need to come to the altar to do that, come. If you can do it where you're standing, do it there. But do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, very quickly, somebody, the Lord's putting a word in somebody, and you're a little nervous here. Pastor Wood, if I'm wrong, no, if you're wrong, we'll help you with that later. But if you sense the Lord giving you a word right now, speak it, please. Don't let us leave here without the fullness. So I'm just going to say, if you feel the moving of the Spirit to cause you to speak, do so, please. Thank you, Lord. Father, I come against all fear that would strive to stop your servants from their behavior, from their activities. Father, if there's a word, let it be spoken now. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. and we know you love us. Yes, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thanking Him. Thanking you, Lord. Ernie, I don't want to get you in trouble. If it does, I apologize. But can you briefly, once again, state what you shared with me this morning in the office? Upcoming events? Huh? May, yeah. Yeah, I understand. I know what May's about. May is where the doctor gets blown away. Father, right now, lay your hands on her, Ernie, anybody that's close enough. Father, right now, in the wonderful name of Yeshua, we command all ungodly spiritual activities working against our sister. We command those activities to cease and to stop their work. We pray, Lord, that you would release your divine defensive killer cell that you have placed within each of us. Let those defensive killer cells rise. Let them multiply and let them dissolve and destroy every single presence of cancer on any level. We command the spirit of death to leave. Not just in one case, but in every case. We command the spirit of death. It's time for you to take a holiday. Because you're not welcome here anymore. We don't want you anymore. We won't celebrate you anymore. And we will only discuss you in light of God destroying you. And we will celebrate that. We will sing about that. We will dance about that. Thank you, Lord. I can say this now. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you concerning my left ear that I had lost the hearing in it. I knew it wasn't like my right ear, which just had some wax built up that I had to get out of it. My left ear was different, extremely painful. I mean, it was different. But last week, and I shared it with Sister Susan, but nobody else. Last week, I was sitting in my car, and I heard this loud pop take place. And when it did, it kind of jolted me like that. And instantly I realized I can hear. out of my left ear. Somebody please again explain to me where God said, I'm done with the healing business. That's what I thought. Father, I ask in the name of Yeshua that your grace and peace will remain upon us as we depart this sanctuary, but never your presence. Lord, bring us all back, if possible, at the next appointed time, and we'll continue to give you praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Remember, stay in the Word. It'll keep you from what? I couldn't remember what it's saying.